This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Brother Christian DeSalvio and is entitled, Heaven or Hell, Part 1.
Thank you, folks on the phone, for praying with us and continuing to pray this week for this really important ministry. As we turn toward the message this morning, Pastor Bob wanted to be here. He believed he would be here preaching, but he became a good patient through some people's chastisement, I believe, and decided that it was better to take a rest. Now, next week I want you to know, Pastor Bob wanted you to know that the sermon is going to be entitled Heaven or Hell, the Choice is Yours. And I didn't know that Pastor Bob was going to preach on that next week. Today we're going to talk about heaven. So the Holy Spirit is doing something, as he always does, and it's affirmation that he is, because today we're talking about heaven. And so our mission today, as we get into the message, is to say yes to the Holy Spirit as he pushes us to think more about heaven in our daily lives. Okay? To say yes to the Lord as he tries to do that work in our life. Because I believe the second part of our goal is if we allow the Holy Spirit to let us be more heavenly minded, it will affect the way we live our lives every day, in and out, day in and day out while we're on the earth. And isn't that what the Christian faith is all about? Isn't it about God transforming us to be more in his image, to think more like he does and less like ourselves? So our text this morning, if you'll stand with me as we read John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. Our text this morning is John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. If you want to read it with me, please do. Ready? We're going to start in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thank you. You may be seated. So if you know me, you know this is our text. This is kind of our home base, but we're going to be going a lot of places in Scripture. Here's Jesus. He's talking about this very real place called heaven and that he is going away to prepare for us. But before we talk about heaven, let's remember that this isn't the first place that Jesus prepared or is preparing, right? You remember the first place that Jesus prepared for humanity is earth. Jesus was actively involved in creation. So this idea of a preparation that Jesus is about for us is not a new thing. And I want to share some scripture with you where scripture is very clear that Jesus himself is our creator. John chapter 1 verses 1 to 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John chapter 1, verse 10, he, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And then Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 17. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are created in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And finally, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The secularist does not have a sound answer for how we came to be. As Christians, we walk by faith, but there's no shadow of a doubt in our minds where we came from. Jesus Christ made a preparation. It's accounted for us in the book of Genesis. And so this idea of Jesus preparing a place is not new for us. As he did in the past, so he says he will do in the future. But we also know what happened shortly after the creation story. We know that we squandered it through sin. And we know that even though God gave us the law and the Old Testament to live by, so that we could have Old Testament saints could have a relationship with God, and we know in the New Testament we have the shed blood of Jesus Christ that saves us from our sin and gives us relationship today, that we are still dealing with the global chaos that sin brought about. And that's because the Bible says that there are some consequences to sin that neither the law nor grace will eliminate on their own in this day in which we live. And I just want to list out some consequences of sin. What I want to do in the next few minutes is contrast for you what we face today here on earth because of sin, and then what heaven is going to be like in the future. And then I want to draw some conclusions about that. So from the time that sin was introduced in the world, the ground was cursed. The Bible says that one of the consequences of the sin of Adam and Eve, the ground was cursed. It wasn't. They didn't have to buy a mower and mow their lawn, Murphy. There wasn't thorns and thistles that grew. Animals weren't vicious like they are today. The ground got cursed, and Genesis 3:17 makes that clear. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, I won't make any commentary about that. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And we traded perfection, a life without sorrow, in this current creation, for something different because of sin. And so the ground is cursed. Another thing, another consequence, was that our lives began to end in death. Adam and Eve were supposed to live forever. There wasn't supposed to be a thing called death. But Hebrews 9:27, because of sin, says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Death came through sin. And then another consequence is Satan has temporarily been given rule over this earth as sin came into the earth. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Do you want to know why there's problems in our world? There is a power, his name is Satan, who's been given temporary control over this world, and his agenda is to create issues. See, he's not like our God. And because of sin, we face that consequence all around us today. Another consequence is our world is a place that's filled with war. James 4, verses 1 to 2 says, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not thence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And war isn't just militaries going against each other. You know, we deal with anger in our heart. And the Bible says when we're angry at another brother or sister, it's as if we've murdered them. And this is a consequence of sin, and it's a reality of this earth that we live in. There is brokenness, poverty, slavery, blindness. These things are all present with us on the earth as a consequence of sin. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And Jesus had to come and minister on earth. And part of his ministry was to love and heal people. Why? Because this place that we live is so broken. And it's because of the consequences of sin. Now, this list that I shared, it's just a partial list of the very difficult consequences we face as we live on this earth because of our sin. It's not a pretty picture. The list in the garden, it continues to be present with us today. And it won't end until Jesus himself makes things right. We've been studying Revelation on Wednesday nights. Pastor Bob's planning to continue the study of Revelation on Wednesday. So hopefully you'll join us on Wednesday night for Bible study. And in that study, we're seeing prophecies about the future and God's solution to all the problems and a finality to time and how Jesus Christ himself is going to work things out and restore things and make things whole again. And nobody on this earth is going to have the remedy, despite what they say, because of the consequences of sin. Only Jesus has the remedy. So why is it, based on all the consequences that we just talked about, why is it that so much of our heart, so much of our mind, so much of our plans get consumed by this broken, fallen, cursed earth? Why do we store up our treasures here as opposed to in heaven? You know, the Bible is clear about that concept. You're not going to see this scripture on PowerPoint, but Matthew 6, 19 to 21 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now listen, there's a lot of beautiful things about this life that God has given us. There's a lot of wonderful things about God's creation. I mean, look how we get to fellowship and support each other. Look at nature around us. I mean, you could rattle off the list of all the wonderful things about life. There's children. Some of your children, our children, are in the back. Grandkids. God blessed us with so many wonderful things. But when we think about this earth, and we start to turn our attention in a moment here and contrast it to what heaven will be, I ask myself, why am I so wound up in this place? You know, I went to college. I think getting a degree is a smart thing to do. I work for a company that's one of the most respected companies year over year in the world. I think having a job and having an income, it's a smart thing to do. The Lord says if somebody doesn't work, then they shouldn't eat. We need to contribute. We need to take care of our families. We need to help people around us. We need to be involved in our church. And planning for the future is a good thing. I'm glad that my company offers a pension, and I'm involved in a 401k, and I've got a milestone out there for myself that if I'm with my company to a certain time, I will get help with healthcare benefits in retirement, and that's all great. But I am afraid that when we think about our existence, too often we only think about the dash that Jeff has talked about on the gravestone. The date we're born, that dash which encompasses everything we've done in our lives, the date we die, and we're not even considering eternity. We're not even factoring today the fact that our life is so much more than our physical birth and so much more than our physical death. Our physical death is graduation day, right? For a Christian, death is a celebration because our faith becomes sight. Our pain is over. We are with the Lord. And so if that's true, it has to affect the way we live every day. It has to affect the way we think. It has to affect the way we plan. And so my challenge for myself and for us today is, as we start to think about heaven and talk about heaven, are we thinking about heaven enough? Or are we so wound up that everything that you define yourself by is constrained to the physical? Everything that you and I think about is in the context of this place, which is just temporary. If you live to 110, Grandma, you're going to beat that out. If you live to 120, if you're the oldest person on earth, it's nothing compared to eternity with God. If you're just a math person, would you rather invest in 100 years of life on this earth, or would you rather invest, a smart investor would invest for an unlimited amount of time in the future? And so what we want to do as believers is be prudent today, but be heavenly minded and have our actions be lived out in such a way that we're thinking about today, but we also have heaven in our mind. Why do we believe people can solve the problems we face on this earth? How is it we sometimes believe that sinful human beings can solve the consequences that arose from sinful actions? And you fill in the blank about all the people that have all the answers to all our problems. And if you listen to them, what they say is, they're going to bring heaven down to earth. They're going to turn earth into a wonderful heavenly place if we can only, and then execute their ideas. It's silly. But people like to have hope, so sometimes we get sucked in. Well, the truth is, the person who has the answers is our Lord. And so we need to hear his voice cutting through the noise of all the other voices that are out there. Now let us talk about what heaven is going to be like when Jesus makes things right, and contrast it to these list of consequences of sin that we are living with here on the earth today. The first thing is that the curse will finally be removed. Revelation 22:3 says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Now, you and I are saved. We have been forgiven of our sin. We can't lose our salvation. But the war within us is because a curse still exists. And we are a people of two natures now, of the flesh under the curse, which wants to follow our flesh, and of the spirit that wants to follow God. Imagine a day when Jesus eradicates that curse once and for all, and you can finally do what Paul said he wanted to do, which was just to do the calling of God. And there is no more sin and curse and flesh dragging you down, dragging you backwards, pulling you back to the things that in your spirit you want to, you don't want to do, but in your flesh you do. Imagine a day. Talk about a solution to a problem. The curse will be removed in heaven. Second, there's going to be no more death. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And our church has mourned and wept more in the last 18 months for the loss of people we love than any time I can remember in my time with him. We've lost friends. We've lost brothers and sisters. And it hurts when that happens. And there's going to be a time, praise God, when there is no more death to be faced. Some people on the earth won't face death because they're going to be raptured. We've talked about that. But when Jesus reigns, death will be eradicated. The third thing that heaven is going to be wonderful and different about is that God will finally be the ruler of it. Satan's temporary rule will be ended. He won't be able to cause mischief and strife. And God will be our king, and God will be our ruler. And Daniel 2:44 prophesies this, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." And Revelation 11:15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." When anybody talks about plans, policies, education, science that's going to create utopia here, they are trying to replace God himself. They are trying to take God's place, leading us to believe they have something God-like to offer. And I'm all about trying to do great things. But nobody's going to solve these problems until God rules, and God himself is a loving God. He's a good God. He will care for us like no other. He'll be a righteous king, a holy king, and we look forward to that day. There will finally be peace. The Bible says people will say, peace, peace. They'll pray for peace, but there will be no peace. Well, when Jesus comes and reigns with God, there will be peace. Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest." That's the prerequisite. "And on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And Isaiah 2:4 says, "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people." That's a prerequisite. You know, part of this verse is at the United Nations building, except they left off the part of this verse that I just read. They left off the part of the verse that says, "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people." Well, if you don't read that, you can't have the next part of this verse, which is the only part of the verse that the United Nations keeps, which says, "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." And that's a wonderful time in the future that's going to come by the hand of God. Not by the hand of the United Nations, and not by the hand of any human being. There will also be plenty. There's so much strife in our country today because of who's been mistreated and who doesn't have enough. And we're going to take from over here, and we're going to give to over here, and we're going to spread it like peanut butter, and everybody's going to be happy. No, they're not. No, they're not. Because we cannot be satisfied in our flesh. The only satisfaction that can come is in our spirit and through God and his Holy Spirit and salvation and being redeemed. And then when we are, inequities don't even matter. That's why God allows suffering, to bring glory to him, to show that a Christian can go through suffering and still make it through. because it's about God's grace is sufficient for us. No program that someone has is going to be completely sufficient. And there's going to be plenty in heaven. We're not going to necessarily get it here on heaven, on earth. Jesus never promised that to us. Be careful. Some people that stand behind the sacred desk say to you, if you only have enough faith, no. That is not biblical. We are not promised certain things in this life, but we are promised them in heaven. And so that's an evil substitute as well. And Revelation 21, 18 to 21 describes our future home. 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. Whew! That's a mouthful. And I wish Estelle Saunders was here today, the jeweler, could tell me what all those things look like, but I don't know what they look like, but they sound amazing. They sound amazing. And some people on this earth want all that bling to be part of their life today, and it's just another thing that's going to let them down, even if they got it here on this earth. But the Lord says, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be so much more generous than any generosity you found through a human being on this earth. Anything that you could do in your own strength on this earth. Imagine asphalt in the form of gold. People are walking on gold up in heaven. And that is the inheritance that we have. So, as we contrast the list of consequences that we face from sin on this earth versus what heaven is going to be, that God has promised us. I'm not making this up. You're reading the scripture with me. These are God's promises. By contrast, which sounds like a place that you should consume your heart, your mind, your time, and your plans with? Somebody please say heaven. Not earth, right? Not earth. Then why don't I do that? Then why don't we do that? Maybe because we've not taken to heart the fact that while Jesus is preparing heaven for us, that we need to do some preparing of our own. We need to do some preparing of our own. I'm not talking about works to save us or to keep us saved. We know salvation is through Christ, through grace, faith, and grace in Christ alone. But then we are about our Father's business because we love Him, because He told us to, because it's the best life for us. And we need to be preparing, just as John the Baptist was being obedient and making preparations for Jesus Christ before he began his earthly ministry, we need to be doing the same thing. Let's talk about what John the Baptist did. Matthew 3, verses 1 to 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John 1, verses 6 to 8 says, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John 1, 15 to 17 says, John bare witness of him, Jesus, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And finally, John 1, 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus sent someone to prepare for his coming the first time he showed up. And John was obedient. And just as John the Baptist was busy preparing for Jesus to arrive on the scene and begin his earthly ministry the first time, it is biblical for you and for me to be busy preparing for Jesus' second coming. And here are the ways that we can partner with Christ and prepare. The first thing is to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Now, this goes to the heart of our street preaching ministry. Folks on the phone, I haven't met all of you. I hope I can one day, but I don't know you. And I'm not going to take for granted that everybody on the phone or even everybody in this room has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So this is what we do on a Saturday, street preaching, is we try to get to the heart of the matter. in just a few verses, because when cars pull up to a traffic light at the corner that we're sharing at, we have about 40 seconds to get the truth out to them. So you got to be short-winded, even though I'm not being short-winded this morning. You got to be short-winded at the traffic light. And so I want to share with you plainly the gospel of Jesus Christ in case you've never accepted Jesus in your life before. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And it doesn't matter if some dictionaries no longer want to put the word sin in there because it's too controversial. We know, because we see it all around us, anything we've done wrong, and we do wrong all the time, the Bible calls that sin. And even when you sin against another, you've primarily, and I primarily, sinned against God. And then Romans 6:23 says that there is a problem from that sin. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." This problem of sin has separated us from God, but God didn't leave us in that place. He has a remedy for mankind's sin, and that remedy is Jesus Christ, his Son. In 1 John 1:9, it promises that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Education is not the answer and the key. It might be for some things on this earth with getting a job, but it is not the most important key. We've got to deal with this sin issue. And God said that through his Son Jesus, we could find forgiveness. John 3:16 reconfirms this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." No, we don't teach here that some are chosen and some are not. That's a Calvinistic idea, that there's some parts of Calvin that are good, but the Bible says that it's your choice. God gave us free will, and you get a chance to choose to reject the God of the universe or accept him. What a loving God. Imagine a person having that kind of power and saying, "You can choose me or reject me." That's not what humanity does. We force ourselves on people, but not God. But God made a way for everybody. For everybody. And Romans 10:9 promises this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So listen, we have a choice to make. Preparation for what's to come starts with salvation personally. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't talk about heaven. I mean, you can, but you're not going there. And that's not because I don't want you there. It's because God said there's one way to get there, and it's through Jesus. So if you want to be prepared, you got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. For those of you on the phone, thank you for joining us.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.